Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, welcome to the Horticulture Week podcast. I'm Matthew Appleby and today I'm with Pennard Plants' Chris Smith. Now, Pennard Plants operates from a Victorian walled garden in the heart of rural Somerset and offers one of the largest selections of edible plants, fruit trees and bushes and herbs to be found in the UK, as well as an amazing array of heritage and heirloom seeds and a few modern varieties they consider worthy of growing. Now, with the seed breeders Burpee, Pennard will be collaborating on a display of tomatoes at Chelsea Flower Show in September. The theme will be based on the round the forthcoming book to be published in 2022, 10 Tomatoes That Changed the World by William Alexander. So, welcome, Chris.
Yes, hello, Matthew.
How are you doing?
Yeah, pretty good, thanks. Quite warm.
It is. It's a hot one, isn't it? Is it hot out there in Somerset?
It's very warm, yes. Expected about 30 today, so pretty warm.
Brilliant. Okay, now I just wanted to delve back into the history of you and your business. So how did you get into horticulture?
I was in horticulture from a very sort of early age with schoolboy jobs, if you like, in a horticultural establishment. And then when I left university, decided to go into horticulture and went into management of garden centres, where I was for quite some time before eventually ending up opening a nursery with another guy.
Yeah. So ex-garden centre manager turned running your own business. So how have things been in Somerset during the lockdown? How have you managed over the last sort of 17, 18 months?
Well, of course, there hasn't been any shows, and shows were a major part of our business up until that point. But fortunately, we've had a website for quite some time, and the mail order side, really, we were geared to run it and keep it running. And so basically, over lockdown, we were kept extremely busy.
So how much has the mail order taken off? Have you seen a big uplift there?
Yeah, I mean, I reckon that we've probably seen during the lockdown period an almost doubling of mail order sales. That hasn't really made up for the shows, but because we haven't been travelling, we haven't had hotel expenses, we haven't had show expenses, in terms of profitability, it's shown to be a more profitable method of selling plants.
That's good to hear. Now, you didn't do Hampton, but you are doing Chelsea in September. So can you tell us a bit about that decision?
Basically, we had decided we weren't going to do any more shows. I am now 70 and decided it was time to spend more time on the nursery and doing what I enjoy, which is growing plants. And so we had made that decision really prior to the pandemic. But Chelsea came along in September, which is actually a much better time for us than May, because we grow vegetables. And therefore, we decided that we would like to show something in September. We've worked with Burpees before, and they wanted to show some tomatoes. And therefore, we came up with the idea of utilising this book that's been written in the States to show the 10 tomatoes that changed the world. And that's really how the exhibit came about.
Brilliant. So what's going to be on it?
10 tomatoes. Basically, there's going to be 10 different varieties of tomatoes, as mentioned in the book, although a couple of them will be similar varieties, where basically the varieties that he mentions aren't available. The story of how each one came about and how each one changed things that happened. So, for example, you've got the tomato that was really developed for pizzas. You've got the tomato that how that started with spaghetti and so forth. We'll have some other varieties of vegetables on the stand as well, just to complement that range. But most of them will be Burpee varieties.
That sounds good. So will this be your swan song at Chelsea then, do you think?
Yeah, I have decided that this is going to be the last Chelsea. We did a wartime exhibit in 2019, which was going to be our last one, but we never actually said it was going to be our last one. So this one, we're now saying, will be our last Chelsea show.
It sounds like you're going out with a bang. But we are at a stage where I was at Hampton quite recently, and there was a few less nurseries there. And I mean, is it because some of the nursery owners are reaching retirement age, or is it because shows aren't as good as they were, or what? Why do you think there's a few less nurseries around at these events?
It's a combination of both. I think you haven't got the youngsters coming into the industry, and so the people that are showing are all getting older and eventually will want to retire, and in many cases have got nobody to take over the business. Shows are nowhere near as good as they used to be in terms of sales. You'll notice that Hampton Court is now called a festival rather than a flower show, with everything else going on. And I think people now go to shows not necessarily to buy plants. They go for a day out, and they go for the champagne and strawberries and whatever else is there. And I think that's made a huge difference. And to a certain extent, the floral marquee has just become a bit of a sideline. It's there because it's a flower show. But basically, particularly if the weather is hot like it is at the moment, people don't go in there. There's less exhibitors there. So therefore, that is a self-perpetuating circle, really. The less exhibitors, the less people will go in there. And so that problem will just go on, I think.
No, I see. Now, looking on the bright side, we're in a high point for grow your own and grow your own veg at the moment, and fruit. And you must have seen that sector go up and down over the years. So what do you put it down to at the moment? Why do you think we are on an upward curve?
I think there's a lot of reasons. One is, particularly if people have got children, they want to show the children where veg comes from. That it doesn't come from Sainsbury's or whatever supermarket you shop in, but it comes out of the ground. I think you've got the fact that people are very conscious that there may be shortages. Shortages now because of Brexit, of course, and shortages because there's nobody to pick the crops here. There's been a lot of press coverage on both of those issues. And I think people just want to get out and actually get in contact with the soil again. You probably remember that a good few years ago, nurseries that grew fruit trees were going out of business left, right and centre. So, in fact, a lot of stock isn't around anymore. And so it's becoming increasingly difficult for some people to find what they want. And I think, you know, that's also contributed with the urgency for people to try growing their own.
Oh, I see. So During the lockdown, I noted that in some stories we wrote that there were some seeds were not available. You know, it was hard to get what you want, particularly last year. Are you still seeing any shortages and in delivery delays?
Okay, I mean, think we were very fortunate in working with our suppliers with seeds that we didn't really have much problem. There were a lot of shortages in other parts of the industry, but it was not particularly noticeable to us. However, certain seeds, certain difficult to grow varieties or varieties that perhaps we don't produce ourselves, we imported from Europe and even in some cases the States. And the changes in regulations have made that importation impossible. A lot of the suppliers don't want to deal with the UK at all. They don't want to do the paperwork. They don't want to be bothered with it. And so really, we'll start to see differences this autumn and winter, particularly with regard perhaps to seed potatoes, where we've always been known for offering varieties from France. But I don't know that our supplier there will want to bother about all the extra paperwork involved, and then at the end of the day, them not actually arriving here in good condition.
Crikey. Is there anything else which you think might go off the market?
The other difficult section is with onions, garlic and shallots, that family, because the regulations are so stringent. And of course, you know, France has always been a source of garlic in particular, and also shallots, Holland for onion sets. We'll have to wait and see what happens.
So is there anything else which you might think be a bit short for next year?
Well, I think, as I say, onion sets, shallots and garlic will be difficult because traditionally we've imported garlic from France. That may be a problem. Onion sets quite often from Holland. I'm not sure what's happening there, except the fact that the price listed so far has almost doubled in some cases. Whether they'll actually get into the country is the next issue we face. So it's going to be a difficult and very interesting time come the autumn and early winter.
And there's been other difficulties recently in terms of opening to the public. Your near neighbour, Jecca McVicar, made a big sort of protest about this, that retail nurseries weren't allowed to open while garden centres were earlier this year. And that hasn't changed, though obviously retail nurseries are now allowed to open as lockdown eases. But you have open days, and were you forced to close when you wanted to be open?
No, not really. We haven't opened to the public generally for some considerable number of years. We have obviously had a few open days, which we haven't held for the past 18 months. We ran one in June, which was only by invitation, really. So we're looking perhaps to start up again September, October, but it's not really affected us at all. Although people who wanted to come to the nursery by invitation or by appointment found it very strange that we weren't allowed to do that, whereas they could go to the local garden centre and do really whatever they liked.
No, I hope that's something the government will look at if this ever happens again. Now, looking at trends in fruit and veg seed buying, what have you seen change in recent times, and looking into the future, what do you think people will be buying more of?
Well, of course, trends can be dictated by so many things. It was very noticeable, for example, sometime last year or maybe even longer ago, when there was a shortage of courgettes in the shops in the middle of winter because Spain had snow when it should have had sun. Everybody rushed to buy courgette seed. So, you know, that caused a bit of a spike in sales. At the moment, people are wanting to grow salad crops in particular, because bags of salad, again, are so expensive in the supermarkets and there are shortages. It's quick growing things. Unfortunately, the newer gardener likes to see instant results. They want to be able to sow it today and pick it tomorrow. And so that's caused a spike really in sales in those quicker growing crops. In terms of fruit, a lot more people are going into growing soft fruit. I think the problem has been that perhaps you haven't been able to buy gooseberries or black currants in the supermarket quite as readily as you have blueberries, for example. And so people have been going into growing their own, and they are pretty easy to grow, except for the fact that if you're like me and you grow red currants, the blackbirds have them before you do. But I think that trend of growing more perennial crops is actually increasing. And getting away from growing the traditional crops of parsnips and leeks and that type of thing.
No, that's fair enough. Now, it sounds to me pretty idyllic out there on your nursery in Somerset. So this time of year, what's your typical day out there? What do you get up to?
So basically, for the past 18 months, I have been packing orders every day. So usually the morning consists of packing orders, which is getting a bit of a chore now, although we actually also have a warehouse where we have a lady who also packs orders. And so the morning consists of that. At the moment, it also consists of making sure the irrigation is working and doing its job in the tunnels and outside on the tree lines. And then it's really a case of keeping the weeds under control and doing an awful lot of pruning at this time of the year. A lot of the trees need pruning. It's stone fruits, they need pruning. And basically, we really got behind on potting early on in the season. And so we were quite short or getting short of some plants. So there's also still quite a lot of potting going on, particularly of herbs to keep the stock fresh. And growing the plants for Chelsea or just before Chelsea for Wisley Flower Show.
Oh, I see. So which bit of the job do you enjoy most?
Growing the plants, I think, and looking after the plants. That's not to say I don't enjoy talking to people about the plants. I do. But I think, you know, to start something from a cutting or a seed and take it to maturity into a plant that you can actually sell is the part that I find most rewarding out of the job.
And there must be things which are annoying and irritating. I imagine all this sort of Brexit and import export and not being able to sell to Northern Ireland is pretty annoying.
Yeah, I mean, we have still been sending stuff to Northern Ireland without any difficulty. So I don't know whether that is going to change. I mean, there's all rumours about things going on. So, you know, at the moment, we're just keeping our heads down and doing up the parcels and sending them. Not that we have a huge following in Northern Ireland. We don't, but we do get some regular customers. And a lot of people used to import or take the stuff in through Northern Ireland and then take it into the south. So that's all stopped now, of course.
I feel in some ways we're coming towards the end of an era for the sector in terms of it changing the way it sells. You know, we have now shifted to sort of mail order and internet away from shows, and perhaps, you know, the generations are changing around a bit. Do you feel this is like quite a pivotal time?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think younger people have time to go to shows or to pay, in some cases, the ridiculous amounts of money it costs to get into the bigger shows. So I think that it's got to change. A lot of customers are getting, traditional customers are getting a lot older and in fact not able to go to shows anyway. And it's much easier to sit there on the computer and order your plants that way. And providing you have a reputation for supplying good quality, good sized plants, then basically your reputation is maintained and you get repeat business because of it. I think there are a lot of areas of the industry that needs to look at the quality of the plants they send out. There have been a lot of complaints, and the complaints that you get are normally about some of the very big companies. We try and maintain a standard. We always send out a mature plant unless we actually say it's a very young plant. And I think that way the customer gets satisfaction in that the plant they grow will produce fruit the first year. I mean, for example, blueberries, if we send out blueberries now, the majority of them have got a crop on that people can pick this year.
Well, I'm looking forward to your Chelsea Swan song, and I'm hoping you're going to be going strong with the mail order with your quality edible plants for a few years yet. But I just wanted to finish up, Chris, with what we always ask is, what plant would you not be without if you were cast away on a desert island?
Well, giving it a bit of thought, I think the one plant that is easy to grow and gives you a massive crop of useful items is yacon. And yacon, which comes from South America, would grow very well on a desert island as long as it could find some water. And with that plant, you would have something that you could use as a refreshing drink. You would have something that's crisp and crunchy to eat and tastes good. You could make a syrup to sweeten your tea if you were lucky enough to have tea, or you could make tea from the leaves. You could wrap your food in it to cook it in. It's all round very useful plant. And I just think it's so easy to grow that I just love it. You know, if you've got one plant, you can get a crop of 10 kilos off it, and you won't get that off potatoes. So I think it has to be yacon for me as just the miracle plant to grow.
Great. That's certainly a plant for the future. Well, thanks very much for all that, Chris, and thanks for listening to the Horticulture Week podcast. I'm Matthew Appleby, and I've been with Chris Smith from Pennard Plants. Now, make sure you never miss a Horticulture Week podcast. Subscribe to or follow Horticulture Week podcasts via Apple iTunes, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, or your preferred podcast platform. So once again, thanks very much, and goodbye till next time.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.